Good morning. We're going to be in James chapter 2, if you have your Bible open there. Verses 14 through 26. I titled it, How Faith Works. We're in a study of the book of James. And so this is the section we're at. How Faith Works. When you look at James 2, and you look at Romans 4, it looks like there is a great contradictory between the two sections. But there's really not a contradictory. It's our lack of understanding of what's being spoken about. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says that a person is justified by faith apart from works. Well, here in James chapter 2, James is going to say we're justified by works and not faith alone. Well, you say, they're saying opposite. You're going to see they're really not. Romans chapter 4, Paul is discussing initial salvation. You can't work your way into salvation. And therefore, your faith in the Lord Jesus brings about justification. In James chapter 2, James is speaking of, now that you are saved, faith continues to work. It's a different area. So we're not talking about the same thing. And so we begin in verse 14, and I want you to notice the questions, the two questions that he asks. He says, what use is it, my brethren? If someone says he has faith, but he has no work, can that faith save him? Great questions. What if you say you have faith? How easy is it to talk? Well, that's relatively easy to do. It's easy to say you believe in the Lord. Now, James is writing to Christians. And it's easy to say you believe in the Lord, but what makes that a reality? See, it needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. Well, he asks, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? Let's get a term down. That term works causes problems too. We're all the time running around because we use that term so loosely that it leads us to believe that we are saved by our works. The term works here, a better defining of it, is the idea of obedience. Faith without obedience. If you say you have faith and there's no obedience, can that faith save him? If there is anything that will cost a Christian eternity with the Lord, then you just do nothing in the name of the Lord. Do nothing, and you'll lose your soul. We see it when you go back to Matthew chapter 25, and as you go through, we read about a parable of the talents. Talents is money. It's not abilities. It's money. Jesus is expressing in the parable of the talents that three different servants by the master were given this amount of money. The servants didn't own the money. The money belonged to the master. And he gave to each man according to their ability. Now that tells you a little bit how Jesus thinks. Jesus knows everybody in the church can't handle the same things. He's not a rough taskmaster. And so the one fella got one talent. It wasn't his. He was blessed with it. And the master saw fit, gave it to him, and what did he do with it? Nothing. He went and he hid it in the ground. And he went from being a beloved servant of the master that was entrusted with a great blessing to being called wicked and lazy. and he was cast out into this outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you think all that's about? Just don't do anything and talk a good game of faith. Will that faith save you? And that's what James is asking here. If there is faith that you claim, and there is no obedience to the will of God, can that faith save you? Well, in order to bring this out even further, verse 15 and 16, he uses an illustration to explain the questions. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Here's the illustration of a brother or sister. Again, we're talking Christians. They're without daily food. They're without clothing. And you know they're without daily food and clothing. And you go up and you tell them and pat them on the back, God's blessings to you. Be warm, be filled, and I hope you make it. What in the world is the value of that for that one in need? There's no value in that. They're not fed and they're not clothed. Two basic necessities of life. And so, as he asks, what use is that? Well, the question is, what use are you to God if you're all talk? What use is it to God? What is the value to God if you're going to talk about, oh, I believe in the Lord, oh, I have faith in the Lord, and you don't do anything? What have you accomplished? What has it done? What has it done? Have you obeyed anything about the Lord? You know, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:28, let him who steals steal no longer, but let him work with his own hands, performing what's good, so that he might have something to share with those who have need. What if here you come out of your past and you're a thief? You know what the Lord expects you to do? Work with your hands. Why do you work? So you can have something to share with others in need. You know, sometimes when you come out of your past and you come into Jesus, and you've been used to using people, and people are good at that. Sometimes in the church, there's just users. And that's all they use the church for. You know what? You need to learn how to take care of other things and look out for the needs of others. That's what an obedient faith would be. And so, when we talk about salvation, we talk about having a faith that brings us to an obedience to change our lifestyles. Or it's of no value. And that's what he says here, that if you say to go and be filled and you don't give them what's necessary, he said, what use is it? Faith that is living, a faith that will save you, is a faith that is alive and it responds to the will of God. It helps. Well, he says in verse 17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Sing hallelujah all you want. Praise the Lord all you want. You can talk, you can do this, but if there is no obedience to the will of God, to the Word of God, and following through, you know what? The best you have is a dead faith. It's not alive, it's a dead faith. You know, it's kind of like going to a funeral. And at a funeral, you know, we view the body. That individual that's laying there cannot communicate with us in this living world. There's no response. There's no connection. If faith, and I believe in God, if faith is not connecting with God, it's not a living faith. It's a dead faith. It's a faith that's not going anywhere. It needs to be a faith that whenever there's a need, that I've got the ability, I can help, then respond to that need. That's what a living faith, that's what a faith with works, that's what a faith with obedience would do. A living faith would, when the Lord says, I want you to stop your foul mouths, clean up your language. Ephesians 4:29 speaks to that. Well, you know what? Living faith says, that's what I'm going to do. I'll do that. When the Lord said, this is the way, husband, I want you to treat your wife. Living faith says, I'll do that. That's the way I'll treat her, because I trust in you. That's the work. That's the action. That's the obedience. The wife will respect your husband and to live with him the way you're supposed to. That is a living faith. There's supposed to be a response in the word and will of God. When the Lord said, if your brother sins against you, forgive him. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. If you have a living faith, you will. Now, if you have a dead faith, you can talk a good game. See, we're talking about faith. If it has no works, if there's no evidence of obedience, it is dead. It's all by itself, and it is no connection at all to God. And it's not going to get you there. Well, he comes around and he looks at verse 18. He says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's kind of interesting. James reminds me a little bit of an Old Testament prophet. You know, you got to remember, James is one of the very first books written in the New Testament. I mean, Paul hadn't written anything yet. Matthew and Luke and John hadn't been started yet. Here's one of the first New Testament books. And James picks up a lot like these Old Testament prophets. And I think of Malachi when he starts wording this the way he does in verse 18. Because Malachi, when he would come along, he would make a comment about God. And then he'd say, oh, but someone among you might say. And he then jumps to that. Well, James is doing the same thing. James is kind of anticipating there may be somebody going to come along and argue with me in this thing. So James goes ahead and he says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Ah, show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Show me faith without being obedient. You can't. Show me faith by being obedient. That you can do. That has to be done. And so, you know, that's the proof that I have a saving faith, is that I'm obedient. And it's shown as obedient. And then he says in verse 19, you believe that God is one. Oh, well, that's a good thing to believe, isn't it? That God is one? There's one God here. Yeah, I believe in God. He says, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Think about the statement he's making there. I mean, we believe in one God. We believe in the Father above. And he said, oh, you're doing well when you do that. Well, let me show you how well you're doing. The demons believe there is one God. And they shudder at God. The demons can do more than a person who just talks faith. The demons are ahead of people. When people say, I believe in God, well, the demons at least respond and shudder. That doesn't mean they're saved. They believe God's one. And so James is trying to expose and trying to show that you and I have to understand that there has to be some obedience. There has to be some visibility that you and I are responding to the word and will of God. Or that faith's not going to save you. You're not going to make it. And you and I need to know that. Well, in verses 20 through 26, so the end of the chapter, there's only going to be one message he's going to end up showing. That faith and works, or obedience, are one and the same thing. That's what he's going to prove. You know, when we talk about faith, we better be talking about a living faith. When we talk about believing in God, We better be talking about responding to the will of God, that when there's needs to arise and you got the ability to help, as I said a while ago, you better be willing to help. There needs to be a response. There needs to be some visible evidence. And if there's not, then it's a useless faith. It's empty. It's pretending. It's deceptive. Well, he starts in verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is worthless, is useless, excuse me? Take a serious look. Are you willing to recognize? Are you willing? Faith without obedience, faith without works, is useless. Oh. A foolish person won't recognize that. But a person of sincere faith recognizes there has to be a response here. And then he begins in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Now he brings up Abraham. This shows the Jewishness of the book, by the way. You know, and he brings up Abraham being justified by works. Now let me throw something on the side here. Let's get another term down. Wasn't long ago, this last year, I preached through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. One of the things we on Romans, and one of the lessons in particular, we talked about justification. Being justified is the avenue in which God declares you not guilty. Where God acquits you from all charges. That God justifies us by faith. That's how it's used in Romans, in the book of Romans, especially Romans 4, 3 and 4. Here, he uses the term a little different. He's not talking a term of acquittal. And I'll show you what I mean. Let me give you an illustration before we get back to this. I still play basketball. And I play basketball against several that are here, much younger than me. If I were to walk up to any of those today and I say, I can still dunk a basketball, you know what they're going to tell me? Prove it. Prove it. I'm getting close to 60 years old. You know what I can't do? When I was 36 years old, I had a fella, we were getting ready to play in a league game, and a fella told somebody that I could dunk a ball, and he came walking down the end, and he said, prove it. 36 years old, I slammed it through. Last time I was able to dunk a ball. But you know what that is? That's justification. I proved my claim. My claim was I could do it, and I did it. That justified my claim. That's the way he's using faith here. For someone to say they have faith, there better be some proving of it. There is justification there. And the way he proves it, he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? How was Abraham justified by his works, by his obedience? He said when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. He's speaking Genesis 22. If you go back to Genesis 15, God takes Abraham out. He has no children. And he says, look at the stars of heaven. And he said, this is how your descendants are going to be, because you're going to have a son. An old man was promised. And he said he believed God. And God reckoned to him as righteous because he believed God. And from that point in Genesis 15, Abraham, every time God called him to do, he obeyed. Every time God told him to go, he went. Every time God wanted him to go about something, that's what he did. And when he gets to Genesis 22, 40 years later, he's offering up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And you know what? He said, there's the proof. There's the justification. Abraham had faith 40 years earlier when I made the promise, and now 40 years later, he's still giving me his only son. He is about to do the unthinkable. But you see, God tested him. And God wanted to know, are you walking before me with all your heart? Are you going to be obedient? And that's why he asked the question here in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works obedience when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see, verse 22. You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Faith was working with his obedience. God said, this is what I want. And Abraham said, this is what I'm going to give you. And as a result, the works that he was doing, coupled with his faith, perfected his faith. It was faith complete. It wasn't a talking faith. It wasn't miscule. It was a faith of belief, a faith of trust, and he acted every time God said. And so therefore, his faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, his faith was perfected. You see, his works justified the claim. I've got faith. And I did it. There's the justification. And then he says in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness when he was called the friend of God. Interesting. Verse 23 is Genesis 15. Verse 21 is Genesis 22. He started with the end, and he showed 40 years earlier, God reckoned Abraham as righteous. Why? Because when God called upon him to do it, he did it. And that justified the fact he was a man of faith in God. And he says, and the scripture was fulfilled. Come back, if you would, hold this just a few pages to Hebrews 11, a couple of two or three verses, and we'll come and close. Hebrews chapter 11. We can read this. Verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. God said, do you trust me? Well, yeah, I trust you. Then do it. Well, it doesn't make sense, God. He didn't say make sense out of it. He said, do you have faith in me? Is it a saving faith? A faith that'll take you all the way through to eternity? And Abraham, he said, well, I consider that God is able to raise people from the dead. If this is what God wants, God made a promise that it was going to come through my seed, Isaac. And if that's what God wants, then that's what I'll do. And so what he said, I'll trust God with my life. I'll trust God with my son's life. I'll trust God with my future. I'll trust God with my all. And he obeyed. And faith was working with his works. And his faith is perfected. And then, coming back to James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What a title to be given by God to a person. The friend of God. Because he had a saving faith. Verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. You're justified by works, by obedience. That proves your claim as a child of God. And that's what James is teaching. It's not just because you claim, I'm a member of the church. That doesn't mean anything. What are you doing to help God's body? Or are you helping it deteriorate? Well, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean anything either. When you make a claim, there has to be some action with that claim. There has to be some obedience with that claim, or otherwise it is useless. Wow. Verse 25, here's the second illustration. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Rahab was found in Joshua 2. That lady's a harlot. She's a Gentile. She's an outsider. But she had heard about the power of God, and she shook with fear. And even the most fortified city of all of their time that they were about to encounter, she was within that fortified city. And when these spies came in, she had one choice to make. You're either going to help God fulfill God's purpose, or you're going to die with the godless. That was her only options. The city was doomed. The city was condemned. And so, you know what? She chose to help God's cause. And now we're talking about a harlot. She was known as a harlot, a prostitute. But you know what she had? Faith in God. And you know what proved it? When God called for her to make a move, she moved at her own life's expense. And now here's Rahab. Her obedience, her works, justified that she had faith. Faith in God. And so he concludes, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Brothers and sisters, if there's no display of faith where you're obeying and it's evident, you're not going to make it. Neither will I. That's called a dead faith. And as we talk to the church, as James talks to us, I talk to you, how many people might be here in the body of Christ that absolutely do nothing for the cause of Christ? But we make the claim? God didn't die by sending His Son so you would lose your soul. But God's not giving people a free ride either. There has to be some faith extended from the very beginning in Christ Jesus, where God can justify me and acquit me from all charges, to after now I have been baptized into Christ, now I'm putting my faith in God and I'm following at His Word, I'm doing what He asks in whatever area of life it is I find myself, whether or not it's on the job, whether or not it's in the home, whether or not it's at the assembly, whether or not it's working with the body of Christ, whatever it's called for from God, guess what faith does? Faith says, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll help. I'll do my part. Whatever that may be, that's how faith works. That's how faith saves. And if there's not any obedience, if a man says he has faith, and there is no obedience, can that faith save them? No. No, they're not going to make it. And so we need to see how faith operates. It's not dead, just sit and talk. It moves according to the will and Word of God. It helps where it can help. It's there to meet needs when I've got the ability to meet needs. It's there to reach out when God needs me to reach out. That is saving faith. And I pray that's us this morning. If not, you get your heart turned right with the Lord. Don't you fake yourself out thinking, well, I'm okay anyway. No, that's not faith. You and God square it up.